When he would talk about Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada would often say that this is the postgraduate study. The basic, what is the basic? Basic is, what is the basic philosophy? Where do we have the basic? That's the Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita we have, like Prabhupada would say, ABC. You are not the body, Krishna is the Supreme Personality Godhead, and you should worship Him. Then the graduate study is Srimad Bhagavatam. And there you have more details. You have details about God's incarnations, details about the activities of Lord's devotees, and it's 18,000 verses, 18,000 shlokas, it's 12 cantos, it's big. It's much bigger than the Bhagavad Gita. And then you have Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Prabhupada said is a postgraduate study, where you really have the principles of theology or the philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnava movement, specifically in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can say that all Vaishnavas would appreciate Bhagavad Gita, from Madhva Sampradaya, from Shri Sampradaya. And most of them would also appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam. But Chaitanya Charitamrita is specifically for the followers of Chaitanya. Why? Because Chaitanya Charitamrita is a very, very important book. It was written some 100 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared. So it was written some 100 years after. So it was not written immediately when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present. So you can imagine such a powerful personality, such a charismatic person appears, and then he disappears, and then, okay, what happened now? Who was he? What was his purpose? What exactly was he all about? So different people started to write biographies about Chaitanya, and you had many biographies. Does somebody know what are the sum of the biographies written before Chaitanya Charitamrita about Chaitanya? You have many, many. Chaitanya Mangala, Chaitanya Bhagavat, you have Chaitanya Chandradaya Nataka, but Kavi Karnapur, and all of these biographies depict some aspects of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, because everybody had a different idea. And what's another important thing, it was a very practical book. Why? Gaudiya Vaishnavism started as a charismatic movement. There was no focused on one charismatic leader, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there was no like a central institution. There was no like center temple. So you had Vaishnavas in Bengal, you had Vaishnavas in Vrindavan, and you have Vaishnavas in Orissa. Okay, how do you connect all of them? What are the guiding principles for all of them? And that's Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita is supposed to bring all the Vaishnavas together and present what are the basic principles of our philosophy. What was Chaitanya all about? What was his philosophy? What was his theology? And you feel, you can see this in first these chapters of Adi Lila. It's all philosophy. It's all theology. First 7, 8 chapters, it's nothing about Chaitanya. He was born to Vishvambar Mishra, to Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. It's not about his life. It's about theology. So Krishna Das Kaviraj wants that people don't misunderstand who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really was. And these chapters of Adi Lila are really heavy on philosophy and heavy on theology. And if you look in first, and there's the key to understand these 6 chapters in first 6 verses of Adi Lila. Krishna Das Kaviraj explains it. He says, he gives first 6 verses. First 2 verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita, does somebody remember? What is the first verse? What do we do usually before a class? Or Krishna Das Kaviraj offers obeisances. And he says, this is to remove any obstacles and invoke benediction. So first 2 verses, he offers obeisances to his spiritual master and to Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vandeshi Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Kodore Pushpamvatao Chintrosharo Tamonadao. I offer my obeisances to Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are like two moons appearing on the horizon of Gauda and dispelling all the darkness. So these are the first two verses. And the third verse explains, says, okay, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What the Upanishads describes as an impersonal Brahman, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, says. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God. And then in the fourth verse, he says, what's the reason for his appearance? What's the reason for his appearance? What did he say? Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear? He says, to spread the Sankirtan movement. He says, devotees worship me in a majestic moon, like a king. But I want to be worshipped in a different way, in a more intimate way. And I want to broadcast my glories. And that's why I appear. And you cannot broadcast something if you don't practice. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And all these chapters deal with all this one verse. So first two chapters deal with these first two verses. And then if you read chapter 4, then Krishnadas Kaviraj, now I explain the fourth verse, and now I will go to verse number 5 and verse number 6. And this chapter deals with confidential reasons for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. So everything is hidden in these first six verses, and then first seven chapters explain these first six verses. And this is what is happening here now. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains what are the confidential reasons, and he explains in verse 15 and verse 16. He says, the Lord's desire to appear was born from two reasons. The Lord wanted to taste the sweet essence of the mellow of love of God, and he wanted to propagate devotional service in the world of the platform of spontaneous attraction, Raga Marga Bhakti. Thus he is known as supremely jubilant, and he is the most merciful of all. In the previous chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives a very, very nice analogy. He says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like a lion. He says he has shoulders of a lion, Simha Griva. He roars like a lion, Simha Hunkara. And he has the strength of a lion, Simha Virya. And he gives a benediction. May that Lord Chaitanya appear in your heart and dispel the elephant-like mistakes, falls from your heart. So that's the benediction that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives. It's a very nice way how he describes it. Like, because as devotees we may feel we are not so strong to dispel all these mistakes and all these faults. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like a lion. He can appear in the heart and take all the way. So this verse and this chapter deals, it's a very, you can say like a esoteric chapter, because it's really, like I said, it's really heavy on theology and philosophy. And you may feel, okay, why do I need all this? And maybe I should just chant Hare Krishna. It's not so important. In a way, yes and no, because if you remember, I said in the beginning, Prabhupada often says this is a postgraduate study. And after you graduate, not everybody is expected that he or she will go for postgraduate study. But if you go, then you can appreciate much more. In a way, it is important, and it's not, because what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Those who worship me with love, teshan satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadadi buddhi yogam time. I give them intelligence. And then the purport Prabhupada says that it is not always necessary. Like he says, a disciple may be on the best path, may even have the best guru, but because a disciple is not maybe the supremely intelligent, cannot really benefit from all the nice thing that he has. So then the Krishna gives intelligence, the Lord gives intelligence. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, Srila Prabhupada explains basically there are two types of devotion. He calls it, and you have this in here in this chapter, and when I was preparing, these two terms I use, Aishwarya Purna and Aishwarya Shittala. And before I go into Sanskrit, I want to give a little analogy, a little example, how Prabhupada would talk about Krishna. He said that Krishna is God on vacation. Like, and he would give an example of a factory owner or a big businessman. When a big businessman is doing his business, when he's managing or leading the company, then people are... How do people behave towards him? They have great respect, awe, and reverence because he's the boss. He's the big one, and I'm the small one. There's a great respect. But when that businessman comes home and plays, let's say, with his or her grandson, how does the grandson behave towards the businessman? That's the same person, but what's the relationship that the grandson has to that person? It's playful, and it's a lot of laughing. It's completely different, but it's the same person. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says that Narayan and Krishna are the same. They are the God. But there's a difference in rasa. There's a difference in relationship. So Narayan is the businessman and Krishna is God on vacation. Krishna is the loving grandparent. Both of them are the same, but it's a difference of rasa. So the Sanskrit term Aishwarya Purna means to worship God in a, like a businessman, quotation marks, in this concept that he's the God, he's the big one, he's the creator, he's the controller, I'm the small one, and you pray. That's the idea. That's the worship called Aishwarya Purna. And the second type of worship is called Aishwarya Shittala, where this Aishwarya is put a little bit on the side. Because a little child, a daughter or a granddaughter, doesn't know that his father or grandfather is a big businessman. She doesn't care about this. She just cares about the relationship that exists. And can you imagine if somebody would come and say, you know, your father, your grandfather is the richest person in the world. He owns this company and that company. What does it matter to me? I have a relationship with him on a different level, you see? And this is what Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is explaining in this chapter. He's saying that Krishna didn't want this type of, let's say, businessman-like worship. He didn't want Aishwarya type of worship. I want to propagate something else because it doesn't really pleases me as a person. Can you imagine that, let's say, you would be very, very rich. You will be very beautiful. You will be the most knowledgeable. You would have all the strength. You will be very attractive. Everyone would want to associate with you. How would you feel? Do you want to associate me with because what I have or who I am as a person? You see the difference? How could you tell? Don't you love me because what I am as a person, not because what I have or what I can give you in exchange? So Krishna feels the same. I want to feel, how is it? I want that my devotees worship me in this mood, because in a playful mood, because of what I am as a person, sweet cowherd boy. Not because what I have or because what I can give them. I can give them liberation and all this stuff. I don't want to be worshipped like this. I want to be worshipped as a sweet cowherd boy. And that's a special feature of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, and that's a special feature of Chaitanya Charitamrita. This Aishwarya Shittala type of worship, where this mood of awe and reverence is put away. It's not that important. And this is what we will have explained in this chapter. If you read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita from Sanatana Goswami, it's a very thick book, three books like this. But there are two very simple points explained there. There are two stories. First story is Narada Muni, he's searching for the, what is it called? Krishna Kripa Patra. He's searching for a devotee who has received Krishna's mercy the most. Who is the recipient of Krishna's mercy? Who's the best devotee? He's searching for the best devotee. And then he goes to a Brahmana worships Shalagram Shila, and then Narada Muni says, "Oh, you're the best devotee." And then, of course, what a devotee says. Shirada Gokulalanda Kija. So he said, "I'm not a devotee. Go to somewhere else. There's a king, and he's a very pious king, and all the citizens in his kingdom are Vaishnavas. Go to him. He's the best devotee." And then the Narada Muni comes to a king, and what does the king say? "No, I'm not the best devotee. Go to Indra." And then Narada Muni goes to Indra. And then again, the same story. "No, I'm not the best devotee. Go to Brahma." He goes to Brahma. "No, I'm not the best devotee. Go to Shiva." And then the Shiva says, "No, I'm not the best devotee. Go to..." Let me see where he's go. "Go to Prahlad." And he goes to Prahlad. Says, "No, I'm not the best devotee. Go to Hanuman." I have to write that. And Hanuman says the same thing. "No, I'm not the best devotee. Go to Pandavas." And Pandavas say, "Oh, we are very dear. But Uddhava. Uddhava is always with Krishna. Go to him." And then Krishna comes to, Narada Muni comes to Uddhava. "No, I'm not the best devotee. You have to go to Vrindavan to see who are the best devotees." And then in the last part, there's a lila. It's called Vajra Lila. Krishna has a fever. Narada Muni comes to Vrindavan, and Krishna has a fever, and asks him, "Okay, what's the medicine for this fever? How we can relieve this fever?" Says, "The only thing is the dust from the lotus feet of my devotees. I need to smear the dust all over my body, and that's the only thing that can relieve me from fever." And then he says, "Go to my devotees and they will give you the dust." And then Narada Muni goes to the Krishna's wife in Dwaraka and asks him, "You know, Krishna is sick. He has a fever. Oh, what's wrong? How can he help? You know, he wants the dust from your lotus feet." And then the queens of Dwaraka say, "Wow, he's our husband. How can we do that? That's not right." And they simply cannot deal with this. And then Narada Muni goes to Vrindavan and goes to the gopis. And gopis say, "Yeah, of course. We may go to hell, but yeah, his fever will be relieved. Yeah, give the dust." And that's the point. Because why are the gopis the best devotees? Because they were ready to sacrifice everything. Social customs. They left their husbands. They stood naked before God. It's like all social conventions. They gave everything. And he explains, this type of worship is the best type of worship. And they don't worship Krishna as God. Right? Just Krishna is their son, their lover, their friend. And they don't have this idea that Krishna is God. Like Krishna sends Uddhava to Vrindavan. And then Uddhava comes to Vrindavan because Krishna has left Vrindavan. He went to Mathura to kill Kamsa. And then the Vrijabhasis are without him. They are in pain. They are suffering. And then Krishna sends Uddhava as a messenger, saying that Krishna will come back, but he never comes back. And Uddhava comes, and then he sees Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Ma, and then they are really in pain, they are suffering, because Krishna has gone, Krishna, their son, has left. And he explains to them, oh, don't cry, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's present in your heart, he's the Super Soul, he's the maintainer, he's the creator. And then Nanda Maharaj looks and he, well, I thought you're intelligent. How can you say this? He's my son. You know, Yashoda Maharaj, I was breastfeeding him. You know, he doesn't know how to put his shoes. He's God. So, because Uddhava is a Jnana Bhakta, he has this Aishwarya type of thing. He knows Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But for the Vrijavasis, Krishna is just one of us. Like Shastra is sometimes complained to light, to fire, because Shastra gives, by Shastra you can see things as they are. But some things are only visible by night. What is it that you can see in night only and not when it's daylight? What's the thing that you can see? Stars. You cannot see stars when the sun is present. You cannot see stars when in broad daylight. Not the moon. So sometimes you need to be in darkness to see. You need to forget this, that is Aishwarya aspect. But it doesn't work like this. Okay, it doesn't work like this that you start with darkness. That was Tamal Krishna Maharaj once explained that first you have to learn and understand who Krishna really is. Tattva, you have to understand from the basics, you have to understand from Bhagavad Gita, you have to understand from Bhagavatam, what is the tattva? And you see how Bhagavatam progresses. First you have first canto, second canto, and only in 10th canto you have Krishna's pastimes. Because by the 10th canto, it is kind of understood that a person will realize who Krishna really is. First you have to know, and then you have to forget all this. To be in this type of bhakti that is propagated in this chapter. So that is the principle. And it is explained here then, in the next verse, I don't want to steal the next verse, but it says that the influence of Yoga Maya will inspire the gopis with the sentiment that I am their paramour, that I am their lover. So then by the influence of Yoga Maya, Krishna will also forget that he is God. And his devotees will also forget that he is the supreme controller, he is the creator, he is the Ishvara. No, he's just one of us. He's just the village boy. And that these are the principles explained in this chapter. And the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the second story that goes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, is again, Narada Muni goes... it's not about Narada. The first part is about Narada Muni. Who knows what's the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita? Yeah, Gopakumar is a cowherd boy from Govardhan, from Vrindavan. And he's searching the Lord of his heart. He goes all over the universe. And again, he follows the same thing. He goes to Indraloka, Brahmaloka, Shivaloka. He goes to Ayodhya. He goes to Dwaraka. And eventually, his heart is only satisfied when he comes to Vrindavan. And these are the two points which distinguishes Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy and theology and also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from all other Vaishnava schools. It explains that gopis are the best devotees. It explains that this type of worship where Krishna is considered on an equal level, that's the supreme bhakti. And Vrindavan, that's the supreme place. That's the highest abode. So this is what we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas aspire. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. That's his esoteric reason for his appearance. Hare Krishna. I hope this was not too... I felt when I was preparing, but this is the verse and that's the chapter. I felt, Wow, this is not an inspirational class. But it's a theological class and philosophical. And if there's some questions, I'll be happy to answer or...